Thank you, John, for that. Now I want to go to Culture Corner on Galway Talks this morning, and I want to go to Shebeil Davitt, who joins me, because Shebeil Davitt, dance in collaboration with Phoebe and Sathaiviark, indeed presents Minchuk. And again, I'm just reading some of the reviews of it, and it's going to be absolutely splendid. Minchuk, by the way, She-Goat, is a Shannos dancer's journey through time from being a Colleen Allen to a full-blown She-Goat. Join one-time reality TV star Shebeil Davitt as she dances her unique mix of contemporary and traditional styles to Las Vegas and back again. And Shebeil joins me on the line. Shebeil, good morning to you.
Good morning. Cá bhfuil tú?
Go maith agus tú féin this morning. From traditional styles to Las Vegas and back again, how long did that take you?
Well, I tell you, it was a while ago now. It was back in 2009. I won a competition on TG Car and brought me to Las Vegas.
Good
doing a bit of Shannos dancing. And yeah, so I suppose I'm going looking back at that now and seeing in a different light. It was all good fun and everything like that. But I suppose now I'm a bit older and looking back at myself, I have all the footage, looking back at that and just seeing how it is now with more kind of experience in dance.
But I mean, it's a big production, so it is, that you're bringing in. I mean, yeah. There's a great gang of people involved in this.
Yeah, no, it is for sure. I made it originally for Dublin Fringe Festival in 2021, so it was kind of just at that end of COVID. There's a lot of restrictions still, so we're bringing it back on tour this year, which is great. It's just great to be able to do it without, you know, the worry of COVID and everything. And it was really fantastic. It's a solo show, Dance Slowly by Me, but we have live mixing and a lot of kind of elements. So we have AV, so projection, video, and great sound, live mixed sound, and an amazing set and light design. So yeah, great team involved.
There really is. Now, you're doing this on Thursday the 4th of April, and you're running it's 8 o'clock. It's in the beautiful Antaivyark in Galway, so it is.
Yeah, and again, can't wait to go to Antaivyark now. That'd be fantastic.
Tickets are very well priced at €16 plus a booking fee.
Yeah, they are. So it'd be great to see people there and just to have I would say as well for this kind of show, people kind of think, oh, you know, I don't know anything about dance. But people, you know, this is for everybody, this show, and has, you know, a big mix of traditional styles. So I do go through a lot of kind of just explain the practice of Shannos dance from my point of view, and then there's a subtle kind of shift then into more contemporary movement. So I would say that a lot of the movement, it's for everyone, and there's, you know, theatre elements as well. It's not something that you'd be sitting there going, oh geez, I don't know what's going on.
But it's so creative. You go with an open mind, and What I would perceive of it and what somebody else would perceive could be totally different. But just sit back and enjoy it. It's 55 minutes in length, and just sit back and enjoy it from there.
Exactly. That's it. And, you know, you might, you know, leave thinking a bit differently about traditional dance than you did arriving. So, yeah, it is interesting to be thinking about Shannos dance in that light now. I suppose the main thing for me would be thinking about Shannos in terms of entertainment. So what is it to dance something that's ancient and indigenous? And now we have so many, you know, entertainment is amazing, but what does it kind of mean to package something like that now? And does it take away? Does it make it better? So it's just, yeah, a lot of questions there for me that I'm kind of still working through as well, that I maybe haven't really answered. There's a lot of this question of, you know, what is sexy Shannos? So there's been a lot of talk over the years about how Shannos is a sexy dance. And it's been, you know, published here, there and everywhere. And I would agree that it is. And I have said it myself in the past. But again, it's that question of why. And Yeah, I'm just drawing attention to that.
And did you say that it's perceived as a sexy dance, Shannos?
Yes, so it has. You know, there was a kind of a big, shift and a renaissance in Shannos dance in the last maybe 10 to 20 years. And that is, has been a word to use it, to describe it. Exploring that and why
and how did Las Vegas take the Shannos? I could imagine the mouth was open and they were wondering what are you at.
I don't know. They were very nice. I have to say,
they're lovely people.
They were lovely. Yeah, it was actually, you know, it ended up being kind of a small enough performance for a few talent scouts, and you know they really enjoyed it and they thought it was really interesting. But I suppose their question was like, how do we package this? How do we sell this? You know, and so me 19 years old at the time, I kind of didn't really know either. Yeah. But I ended up being lovely. Super. And I did a few shows at a few casinos and stuff. And so it was all lovely. But again, it's kind of that question of, you know, how does the traditional art fit in a package?
So let's just remind them again, Shabelle Davitt, that you're going to be in the Thaibhearc on the 4th of April. And again, if you want to get further details on that, you can go to the Thaibhearc box office. You're doing so in association with Phoebe. And again, tickets are €16. It's a 55-minute presentation with no intervals. And the performance includes flashing lights. I love to get that. If there's flashing lights in it, it's kind of nice to tell people who might be sensitive from there. Listen, good luck with it. And again, if they want to get further details, just go to the Phoebean website or go to the Thaibhearc website and book tickets from there. Shabelle, thank you indeed for joining us today and congratulations. That's the 4th of April. It's only around the corner, really. Well, it's a little bit further around the corner than it is. But again, you can get tickets. Now, though, Sarah Slevens is opposite me today. Sarah, morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. In preparation for International Women's Day today, you went out on the streets of Galway.
I did indeed. A lovely opportunity to talk to people the day before, I suppose, International Women's Day, and have a think ahead of time. So last year we asked people on the streets of Galway about the most inspirational women in their lives. This year we wanted to create a bit of a balance by taking the good and the bad, I suppose, and not necessarily to make it negative, but to find, I suppose, what those unique experiences women have are. So we asked a couple of questions. We asked, what's your favourite part about being a woman, to the women? And we also asked what you admire most about the women in your life. But then we also asked people what they thought some of the tougher parts about being a woman were as well. And we got a very, very wide range of answers and loads of variety from people from all walks of life, I suppose.
My favourite part? Probably like other women, if you get me, like the community of being a woman. That's probably my favourite part.
I guess just my interactions with other women that I know, I feel like there's a gentleness and sweetness to like how women interact with each other that's really special.
I feel like there's like a big community.
Yeah.
There's a lot of community to be found in women and non-men, and it's really great.
Yeah.
I consider myself non-binary, but I loved growing up a woman, and most of my friendships are women, and just the community and the warmth and kind of like, this might sound weird, but like there's a shared sense of suffering in a lot of ways, and that community is really powerful, I think.
Okay, and then on the flip side, if I could just ask you what you think are the toughest parts about being a woman.
I think like the lack of safety. I am like from New York, and so like I feel like I, growing up, had a lot of encounters that with men that felt very unsafe, and like I always kind of felt like a target. I don't know. And also just, on top of that, lack of like appropriate education on women's bodies and how to properly take care of yourself, and like especially in like the health world with everything being kind of designed for men.
I think the tough parts of being a woman is probably the judgment that you get no matter what you do. It's always, if you do something, it's either too good or it's not good enough, and I think that's probably one of the hardest things. And like the beauty standards as well and everything, how it is nowadays.
There's just a lot like to live up to, like there's high standards for women and you have to do like a lot to get like achieve the same thing that a man could achieve doing a lot less just because you're a woman.
I think the toughest part about being a woman is probably the standards, like living up to it and having to compete for something that like a man could easily get, and you want to get credit for it, but there's always competition there, and there's always going to be competition there. There's nothing really you can do about it.
What I admire most is my mother as well. She's really hardworking, and she's just really kind to me, and I'm really thankful that she is there for me, and I'm really proud to be her son.
How much they listen? That they are a lot more like emotionally intelligent, I guess. That's definitely one of them. And I'd say one is like my mom. I admire her a lot because she knows a lot.
And then on the flip side, I suppose, what do you think is some of the tougher things about being a woman?
Definitely the way they get treated by men a lot of the time, and like pregnancy seems like really tough as well. That's one thing. That's like a downside. Yeah, I'd say it would just be the way like men look at women a lot of the time and the way they treat them.
Well, I can't really speak for them because I'm not one, but I'd say it is kind of like, I don't know, I'd say it's really hard for them to find good places to stay. I'd say safety is a good thing as well. Yeah, just being safe in places, anywhere.
I guess what I admire most about the most important woman in my life is how generous and caring she is with her time, as well as, like, you know, things as well. And yeah, always putting other people first. And yeah, it's my mum. She's the best. So yeah.
I just admire like the caring, like just like the compassion. It's always been there to sort of. Being very, very supporting yourself, yeah, that's it.
And can I ask another question on the flip side, I suppose? Yes. What do you think is one of the toughest parts about being a woman?
Oh, that's interesting. I guess sometimes battling like stereotypes, I guess. I have to be honest, I've never felt too disadvantaged for being a woman, but I know a lot of people who feel the opposite to me. So, yeah, I think I've just been very lucky in the life that I've had that I don't feel like I've faced that many challenges because of being a woman, and it might have been part of my upbringing or I don't know, my background. But yeah, I think there are obviously like a lot of stereotypes that people have to try and beat down or go against, and yeah, and just be the people that they want to be.
I mean, again, I think it's just trying to, with the stereotypes, like particularly maybe with like some of the older generations or some men stuck in certain mindsets. I don't know, it's not something I've had too much experience with, but yeah, I think that's just those stereotypes and outdated manners.
Reaching the top shelf in the kitchen. I can't do it. I live on my own, and that's a struggle I face because we're generally shorter.
I'd say what I admire most is like kind of like the constant drive, and also like the ambition and compassion that I see with many of the women in my life. And I think for me, it's like this kind of constant drive, but also I've met so many women in positions of power in my life where the kind of culture and environment is so nice that it's like often when I see someone in a position of power and there's not any toxicity, they do tend to be women. And I've kind of noted in my in kind of my own practice that I would like to cultivate the same environment, you know.
I would say be able to understand people, empathy, and just being around people we love and just take care of them all the time. We're always trying to take care of people somehow, I guess.
And on the flip side then, what do you think is kind of some of the hardest parts of being a woman?
I think people expect us to be perfect sometimes, like in work and with friends and family and taking care of the house. So I think a lot of expected of us. So I think we don't have a break. We have to be beautiful and happy. And we have to, I guess, just, we have to be able to please other people. So I guess a lot of expected of us.
Well, there's a lot of things, and you know, obviously with wage gaps and pink tags, but I also think it's kind of scary the amount of people who don't know what consent is. I did a lot of work last year on consent literacy with active consent, and it's kind of truly horrifying how many people don't really know what consent is, but it's also encouraging how many people want to learn and how many people want to build these things in their lives. And I think with women and the internet and kind of this kind of far right weirdo dude bro culture, for lack of a better word, you can get really, it can really just kind of be predatory for young boys to fall down like misogynistic pipelines. And I think that like there needs to be more of a dialogue in preventing that not just for those young boys and their own mental health, but to also prevent them from, I don't know, projecting all that onto the women they might encounter in the future. So I think those are like two things.
What I admire most is about my mother personally, that she's hardworking, she puts food on the table, keeps the clothes on my back, that kind of thing, you know? That's what I admire most about the women in my life.
I don't want to like put women on top of men, but like just being more emotionally intelligent, really, like, and just like women have it hard, but like we're able to like overcome it, and like we know how to deal with things a lot better than men. So
on that note, what are those kind of hard things that you think women have to deal with?
Well, for starters, like periods, and then if like being pregnant and everything, and like childbirth, like that is atrocious.
Well, probably the aspect that jobs or so, you don't get opportunities, say like I would. Like, it's hard to get into certain fields being a woman.
I just became a mom 8 months ago, so it's the most amazing thing to be a woman and a mom.
And tell us a little bit about herself.
Well, her name is Macarena, we're from Mexico. And she's a little monkey, but it's great. Every sacrifice and sleepless night is worth it.
Okay, and then on the flip side, can I just ask you, I suppose, as well, what is one of the harder parts about being a woman, do you think?
I don't know. I would say, for me, in my life, it hasn't been hard to be a woman, I think. But maybe we don't get men to understand us as much as we would like to. I would say that's it. I'm happy with being a woman.
Perfect. Can I ask you then yourself, what do you admire most about the women in your life?
Well, I think men couldn't do these type of things, like getting a baby. And the love that they show to life, it's amazing. And I think women are the same. We are the same. Like, she and I are the same.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Irish Protect with me, John Morley. Coming up on the programme today, I speak with Dr. Trace Conway, Assistant Professor and Director of the MA Planning and Development at the University of Galway, about the importance of planning and its role in tackling climate change. If you want to get a comment into the programme, you can do on our text and WhatsApp number, that's 086-3833-553. You can phone reception on 0917-00077. Email irishprotect@galwaybayfm.ie. If you want to get more information on this initiative by IBI and Commission Naman, go on to irishprotect.ie, where you can take the ecological footprint calculator. All this plus lots, that's more coming up on Irish Protect. And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Dr. Trace Conway, the Assistant Professor and Director of the Masters in Planning and Development at the University of Galway. And we're looking at how planning and planners are adapting to environmental criteria. Trace, good morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us on the programme. Talk to us a bit about the environment and planning and how planners are adapting to that.
Yeah, John. So I suppose the focus of your segment in your programme is to bring to fore ideas around environment, sustainability and climate. And planners as trained professionals really have a central role to play in achieving elements of environmental sustainability, access to housing, development that's sustainable in that it adheres to the idea of the common good, so that every piece of development is about environment, society, culture and how it interacts together, and how the capacity and the limit of growth of these areas isn't surpassed and isn't overreached on the basis of the proposals for the developments being made. And I suppose on that, if we don't have enough planners in the system, which currently we don't have, we're at a bit of a stalemate in terms of achieving these goals. So I suppose there's a resource issue as well. Organisations like the Irish Planning Institute and the SCSI have mentioned these challenges in order to achieve our sustainable development goals with over 1,500 vacancies in the system. And I suppose planning is not arbitrary in this. It happens through structures and timelines. And if there's a lack of staff within the system, we fail to maybe achieve some of these elements in terms of climate change or the biodiversity crisis as well.
Mm. Because there is a huge focus now on environment and climate when it comes to planning.
Yes, yes. I suppose the career and the narrative in and around the planning space is changing. and the skills that planners need to adopt and to use in their day-to-day job is altering. And I suppose that gives us in educational institutes a time to rethink in terms of how we reskill these planners in these dimensions. But things I suppose planners need to think about that are relevant to the environment is obviously climate change, biodiversity. Marine spatial planning now is a central dimension, in particular, I suppose, on the Western seaboard for ourselves, renewable energy and economics. And I suppose in terms of how their current roles are changing as well, how they look at existing problems in terms of maybe the environment of our high street and how we preserve our town centres is changing in response to how things have moved online to COVID. So there's a lot of changes in the dynamics. But I suppose the need to focus on climate and environment and the sustainable development goals, for example, does present an opportunity for us to think about how we drive those skill sets into the future, into maybe even the youth populations.
Yeah. And what project ideas are there out there in both the city and the county to tackle this?
There's a lot actually happening, I suppose, across these projects. One, I suppose, to jump to the city, first of all, is the Greater Galway Charter for Sustainable Urbanism. This project, or charter, as it's more commonly known, is an output of a series of public workshops and also the Reimagining the Irish Town and City Conference, which was held in Galway City in April last. And the charter then was developed and launched last October. So what the charter is a living document about Galway and how it can develop over the next 50 years. Now, planning plays a key role, but because of the nature and the focus of it, the interdisciplinarity piece, where you have architects, you have the Academy of Urbanism, you have the educational institutes, all involved in driving key deliverables in and around compact growth, sustainable neighbourhoods, transport and placemaking. So essentially, this project really is an overarching linchpin for how we're going to drive the environmental, social, cultural sustainability of Galway over the next 50 years. And it really will be great to see how it progresses. And I suppose, John, another project that is quite central and it is key to the environment and planning is this focus now we need to put on transport. And through the Urban Regeneration Fund, which is set out to develop projects in line with Project Ireland 2040, planners in Galway County Council have a key role in securing $9 million in funds for the passing loop and a second platform at Oranmore train station. So this funding and the resulting developments that will emerge out of it will have significant impact for commuters leaving Oranmore for Galway City, on which will be a 9-minute train journey. And this increase in train traffic will obviously allow for some cars to come off the road and essentially help us achieve some of our carbon targets. So I suppose in applying for this funding, the expertise of planners would have connected this application to the National Planning Framework, but also to the National Policy on Climate Action, and to highlight how this development will be transformative, strategic, and how in essence it'll pinpoint how places like Oranmore can contribute to long-term viability and sustainability environmentally for Galway and its environs.
And I know there's a big report out recently with big targets in terms of moving to renewables.
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of planning's role in and around renewables, we are supposed to be achieving 80% of our electricity generation by 2030 from renewable resources. And I suppose on that planning space, there's a lot happening in the private sector planning. So we're very lucky in Galway to have MKO, McCarthy Kevin O'Sullivan, based here in the Tuam Road. They're Ireland's largest planning and environmental consultancy. I think I've got that right. And essentially, they have a key role and in terms of a lot of their developments in and around wind energy, solar farms, in driving those targets and seeing, well, can we actually meet a lot of what's been set down?
I know a lot of the education aspect of this starts with youths in terms of educating them about the environment and planning. And you have a few projects in the burner there as well.
Yeah, so I suppose, even though, I suppose, John, we are a third-level institute, we educate third-level students primarily, we do see in the planning space there is a need for youth engagement. And I suppose everywhere there's a call for how do we engage youth more fully in our society. But planning is one of those key aspects, because if you think about it, they're going to be using the products of our plans and our policies as we move forward. So actually, in partnership with Galway County Council, the planning department there, with the presentation Eton College in Athenry. We are currently working with those students over the next couple of weeks to look at how they think about their town centre in Athenry, how planning impacts them. The students are actually going to lead our third level students through the exercise and essentially learn a little bit about planning and place and maybe think about it as a career, but also for them to think a little bit more deeply about how our interaction with society has environmental consequences.
Mm. It's very interesting. If people want to get more information on this work, where can they get it?
So if anyone would like to find out more, they can either drop me a direct email at thrays.conway@universityofgalway.ie or just do a quick Google search of MA Planning and Development at the University of Galway.
That's great. Dr. Thrays Conway, the Assistant Professor and Director of the Masters of Planning and Development at the University of Galway. Thank you for joining us on Ars to Protect.
Thank you so much, John. Cheers.
And that is all from this week's edition of Ars to Protect. Join us next Thursday at 11:30 where we look at gardening.
Ars to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out arstoprotect.ie for more info.
Very good morning to you. Now we give you a chance to win earlier on a three-course lunch on Mother's Day in the Camelon restaurant for two adults and two children in the Ardalan Hotel. And we're delighted to say that the Ardalan Hotel winner of that prize is Aisling O'Hanlon in Renmore, County Galway. Congratulations and thank you indeed to all the team in the Ardalan Hotel and the Ardalan Bistro as well for their beautiful prize to send somebody on Mother's Day indeed to the Camelon room in the Ardalan Hotel. So well done from there. I want to go to my next guest, though, and she joined me a while ago indeed, and we were talking about the Sunflower Project. Her name is Siobhan Kelleher. She's a talented musician and she joins us today for Music Mornings. And good morning to you. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to see you again. You were in with me, is that a few months ago?
That would have been November, December, I'd
yeah.
say. Yeah.
And you were trying to raise money for the Sunflower Project and you did very well.
Yeah, so we ended up raising just under $2,000 for eating disorder supports and 1,300 of that was used to be donated directly to Bodywise, which was incredible. And the rest were used to make care packages for young people in inpatient treatment during Christmas.
Yeah.
And so, that, you know, it was such an honour to do.
And it worked well. It worked very well for us. Talk to me a little bit, because you're from Tuam, County Galway, but your dad, Martin, has been a big inspiration on you. When it comes to music, did he play the guitar as well?
Yeah, so my dad has been playing guitar for, you know, as long as he can walk, I'd say. You know, he kind of always wanted myself, my brother, to learn music. And when I was about 13, I kind of picked up the guitar and I was like, rush, I'm ready to learn.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I kind of went from there, and he's just been such a huge inspiration for me with songs that he wrote 100 years ago and... You know,
I know, he's not 100
years old.
Martin, I'm really trying to defend you here. So yeah. But she's your number one fan, whether you know it or not, she's your number one fan.
No, he was just such a huge inspiration for me coming up kind of as a musician myself. It was so incredible to have somebody like that to look up to.
And is your mom, Catherine, musically minded?
She loves music and I think she has a lovely voice. She wouldn't agree with me herself, but she's shy, but no, she's got a lovely voice and she's surrounded by music every day. So,
wow. You know. So she likes music, so she does.
Yeah.
And does your dad play every day at home?
Yeah, as far as I know, he kind of locks himself away in his room and plays his guitar for hours an inch. So, you know,
and does he gig around
Tuam
now, does he?
No, he's got notions too. But nothing confirmed yet, but watch this space. So big things coming.
Talk to me about your music career. I mean, you're a student in University of Galway, you're doing psychology and English, as you told me back in November, December. But music has been very good to you. I know you're in Uachtaráin this weekend and you're also in Galway City as well. But music is you love it.
I do. I really, really do. It was something that I found came very naturally to me, which is... you know, probably a bit pretentious to say, but when I started playing music and when I started writing songs, it was very second nature and it was one of the only things I found that was able to, you know, give me a sense of comfort and purpose in life at a young age. And it's continued to be something that's really remained constant in my life. since I started.
So you have a piece of music which you wrote, and it's called Growing Pains.
Yeah.
So we know your story, you told us your story, and everybody is, really, I suppose, you're very honest with your story. Talk to me about the piece that you're going to perform for us, Growing Pains. Is this from the heart as well?
You know, I'd love to say that. I really would. But I kind of write songs without fully acknowledging what they're about. And then, you know, I give them time to kind of fully come to life or whatever. And then eventually I realise what they meant to me at the time or what they mean to me now. I suppose this one definitely would be looking at my current situation in reflection of, you know, what I've been through in the past and my difficulties with an eating disorder and struggles with my mental health. And it's definitely a song that is relevant to me currently. And I don't know what it's going to mean in 10, 15 years, but, you know, it.
But you're so honest. What I love about you is your honesty.
Thank you.
I just loved your honesty, that you don't come in and say, we don't, you know, you're straight up about it. Do you want to perform it for us and then we can have a chat afterwards?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm going to try and do it justice and mix it properly. So, and Martin, if I get it wrong, forgive me. Catherine, you won't mind, but Martin, take it handy from there. So in your own time.
Try to romanticize, staying up past your bedtime. It's 3 in the morning, I cannot seem to close my eyes or keep them off you. Try to philosophize all your new friends, they're so much older and cooler than you've ever been, and they know all the words and justify all your sins. I think you're getting too old. I think you're getting too old. Growing pains. Too old. Growing pains. Is it just me? When I saw you in that room, there was a thousands of versions of us who had seen it all. So you have something to breathe for. Pick up telling your dad you're gonna learn how to drive. It just hasn't really crossed your mind yet. Pick up 35 hours just to get your degree. Pick up smoking so you have something to breathe for. Pick up telling your dad that you've been doing alright. It keeps you up all night. Keeps you up all night. Getting too old. I think we're getting too old. Growing pains. Too old. Growing pains. Oh, we're too old for growing pains.
Wow. What you can do to that guitar is something else. Do you know that? I've seen many guitars in this studio, but is that a special guitar? Because it sounds so... There's such volume behind it.
Yeah, so this is my favourite guitar in the world. It's a Duina, and it's just got such a lovely kind of brassy bassiness to it. But I kind of am stuck in a place where I'm writing a lot of songs in open tunings. So this is in Dadgat. So it does sound very, you know, open and airy-fairy. So I think that kind of...
Maybe it's the way you played it, but I mean, it consumed the room and it drove you forward to sing. Do you know, am I making sense?
For sure, yeah. It's just a really incredible guitar. I don't want to take the credit for it because it's definitely the craftsmanship behind it. But yeah, I do think the tuning kind of lends itself to it greatly.
And do you auto-tune it now or do you tune it to the ear?
I tune by ear. I don't actually have the skills to understand why I'm able to do that. It's kind of just you memorize the sounds.
But doesn't it just show though how intelligent the brain is?
I know, it's mad. It's crazy.
And you're studying psychology and English, so you're?
Yeah.
So it just shows how intelligent the brain is.
I know, yeah. It does actually really kind of, every now and then I'll get these moments of like, oh my God, that's actually so cool that I'm able to do that, and like that the brain and the body can communicate. So I just know without having any logic behind it. But yeah,
logic goes out the window really when it comes to performing, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's really nothing like it. I did karaoke for the first time 2 weeks ago, and everybody was surprised when I said that. But there's so much more kind of intimacy I find when playing a cover.
Yeah.
Versus when you play your own song, you kind of get lost in the space and the thought behind it, and it can change and adapt every time you play it. But, you know, when you're doing a cover, you have to get it right. So I think...
Yeah, but I was watching you there. I was watching one screen and I was watching you because I was trying to get the mix right for Martin, that is. Your mom wouldn't give out to me, but your father might now. And the mix was lovely, I have to say. But you were just into it. You were passionate about...
It's something that makes me really happy,
yeah.
It really is.
And come here this weekend, so you're in Uachtarard?
I am. I'm in, it's a fantastic exhibition for Donal Kelly in my little flower cafe in Uachtarard. And all the proceeds will be going towards Gaza. So it's a really excellent cause. And I'm, you know, super honoured to be doing the entertainment for them.
What day is that?
So that's Saturday from 5 to 7, I believe.
5 to 7 in Uachtarard.
And then I'll be in the Old 55 for DJ Green, who's a fantastic producer in Galway. And I'll be doing a quick half-hour set at about 6 o'clock in there, but there'll be music from 4 to late.
What day of the week is that?
That is Sunday.
Sunday.
So I'm flat out.
So that's in Prospect Hill. So you're going from Uachtarard, then you come back in to Galway, and then you go to Prospect Hill then the following day. How can they follow you online, can I ask you, Siobhan Kelleher?
I'm online under that exact name, so it's Siobhan Kelleher. Can't really miss. I have a big head of ginger hair in all my profile pictures, so...
Ginger hair?
Ginger, yeah.
That's not ginger.
This is ginger, for sure.
Will you turn on the big lights for me out there, please? Rina, you call that ginger hair?
I would, yeah.
It's okay.
I would. I tried to beat the allegations, but I kind of got caught up in it, so I have to just accept...
It's just you.
It's just ginger.
Just you.
Yeah. But yeah, Siobhan Kelleher under all platforms.
I'm on my way down to Helen Walsh's opticians to get my eyes tested, so I swear to God. Listen, thanks for popping into us today.
You're
very kind. The wonderful Siobhan Kelleher joining us from Music Mornings. By the way, a huge thank you to all of you for all the cards and letters that you've sent in to me over the last couple of weeks, and Postman John brings them in to me during the 11 o'clock news. Thank you to each and every one of you for all of the lovely letters. I'm going to write back to everyone eventually. I will get back to everyone and write back to everyone eventually, I promise you. I just did a quick count, that's fine. I think we have 17 or 18 shows left until I retire, so do stay with us. Now, I'm not here next week. John is here. I'm taking a week off. John is here next week, so he is keeping everything going, and it's just going to be as good as we do each and every other day. So he's here next week. That is it though for now. Tomorrow morning at the programme, we're looking at regional waste management planning offices. We're launching the national plan to stop waste growth over the next 6 years. We've got the City Tribune headlines, 170 founders graduate of Enterprise Ireland's New Frontiers programme, and the Australian Masters AFL in Galway for a test match. We've got Galway thoughts as well, and we have a sports preview. We've all of that and more between 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock tomorrow morning here on Galway BFM. John Morley produced. Siobhan took your comments. But from yours, Keith Finnegan, and we'll talk to you tomorrow just after 9. Have a good and a safe Thursday. Bye-bye.